The sun is shining. It's 11 degrees Celsius. There's not much wind. I've got my walking boots on. It is time for another episode of The Walk. I'm Father Roderick. Good to see you. Well, I'm not seeing you. It's good to get in touch again after a busy week. I'm a little bit late when it comes to recording this episode, but it is because I deliberately gave myself some time off at the beginning of this week to recover from a number of very intensive days. I'll talk a little bit about that. I also want to give you an update on the progress when it comes to the creation of the two membership communities that I'm setting up in order to help at least part of my audience in a way that I've never been able to do before. And I also talk about the migration, the process of migration that we have started from Patreon and the kind of limited options that we have with Patreon to the new platform where hopefully I'll be able to serve you even better than before. But first, let's take a look at the beautiful nature around me. I'm walking next to the graveyard here. On my left is the shopping center of my little town. And most of the trees are now starting to spring leaves. So the large trees take a long time to get green, but even these big ones here on my left, they're towering above me. You can tell that their branches are starting to produce the leaves. So my guess is that within 2 weeks, everything will be fully green, also in the woods. This is my favorite time of the year, especially on a day like this. We've had quite a bit of rain. There's also going to be more rain in the days to come. But today, when I'm walking now towards the sun, and I feel the heat of the sun on my skin. Oh, I love it so much. For some reason, having this bright light and these nice temperatures give me so much energy. And I really needed it because, as I mentioned before, it's been a very intense week. It was the week of my birthday. Normally, I don't pay much attention to those days. Actually, I usually forget about it, and then I get an email congratulating me, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, it's true, it's my birthday. This time it was on a Friday, and I wasn't really focused on it because we're working on so many projects right now. And it's just never been a thing. But I was getting a guest for a sleepover. So Father Harry, a good friend of mine, who's part of the group with which I always go on vacation, he had to attend a conference about parish renewal. And that was very close to where I live. And since he lives in the south of the country, it's quite a long drive from his place to that conference center. And the program would start relatively early, so he asked if he could stay over with me so he wouldn't have to leave very early in the morning. And of course, I always try to put, this is one of the values that I think are important, and that is to be hospitable. So if someone asks for a place to stay or something like that, I feel like I want to be there. But in reality, I never got around to creating a spare bedroom. So I do have one IKEA bed that I moved from my previous rectory to this one. And usually when, you know, this happens like maybe once or twice a year when I have a guest, I sleep on the ground. So I have this mat, self-inflatable mat that I bought years ago for, I think it was a youth camp or something like that. And it's really not very comfortable. And it's meant to be put in a tent, you know, in a field or something like that, so that the ground itself adds a little bit of a cushioning effect. If you put it on concrete, like in my house, it is really rock solid. So, and then of course, my I make my own bed available to the guests because I want them to sleep well. But this time I was like, okay, maybe now is the time to finally buy myself a new bed. So I figured I'd just take a look at the IKEA website and have it delivered. The thing is, you get so used to Amazon Prime, where it's always next day delivery, that I was shocked to see that IKEA only has very limited time slots for delivery. And in this case, they could only deliver right after the weekend, so I would have to wait several days before I would even have the new furniture. So I contemplated going to IKEA myself with a rental car, but that was also a bit tricky to organize. And ultimately, I found a parishioner who was willing to go to IKEA, and I would order the bed online and he would bring it and we would assemble it together. So that's what we did on, what was it? Yeah, on Friday morning. And as usual with the IKEA stuff, it looks simple, but it's still quite a bit of work. It took about 2 hours to assemble the whole thing. But at least I now have a permanent guest bedroom. So that is... that's really nice. And then what else happened the rest of the day? I don't know. The Saturday was a very busy day because my sister would come over for my birthday with her family. And in the morning I had my running group. And during the morning run on Saturday, I tripped over a root. Like, these trees have these big roots sometimes, and normally I pay a lot of attention, and earlier that training, someone else, another guy, tripped over one of those tree roots, fell flat on his face, and just 10 minutes later, the same happens to me, and I just dive to the ground. It's like everything goes in slow motion all of a sudden, and then I didn't have a soft landing, so my knee hurt, not very deep wounds, but still, you know, my knees were chafed, and especially like my entire body was everything, all the muscles had been put under a lot of tension. And so for the next couple of days I didn't sleep that well. I still have a little bit of back pain, and I'm not entirely fit. So the fall itself is like a car crash. You're discombobulated for a number of days. Anyway, so then my sister came over, and that was all very nice. And then the next day, I had Mass in one of the larger parish locations, and I just couldn't come up with an idea for a homily. Sometimes I have these, like, I don't know, it's just writer's block. I never write down my homily, but it's similar. I don't have a clue what to say. It was about the story of Thomas, who doesn't believe that Jesus is risen. And I just couldn't find an original perspective on on that gospel. And so while I was in church, and finally I got an idea, and it was about an ostrich, you know, the lore that an ostrich puts its head in the sand when there's danger, and with the idea that if I don't see it, it won't be there. Dogs actually do that. When dogs have done something wrong, I see this on TikTok a lot, they've destroyed the couch, and then the owner comes home filming everything on an iPhone, and then the dog is hiding behind cushions thinking that as long as I don't see my owner, the owner won't see me and I'll be safe. Well, the story with the ostrich actually is false. It's fiction. But I use that as an example of kind of the mechanism that you see with Thomas. Like, if I don't see it with my own eyes, if I can't touch it, then I certainly won't believe it. So I have to see it to believe it. If I don't see it, it doesn't exist. And it's a reaction out of fear and uncertainty. And so talked a little bit about that and how, you know, this is something that Jesus wants to heal us from, because when Jesus meets his friends after the resurrection, his first words are always, "Peace be to you," and "Don't be afraid." Those are like very important post-resurrection messages. And of course, that applies to the readers of those Gospels in the early Christian times that were often persecuted, not safe. And these stories want to convey a sense of reassurance, like, don't be afraid, it's all going to be fine. Jesus is maybe gone back to his Father, but he's still with us. As long as we trust him, he will help us, he will protect us. And so, and then towards the end, I kind of concluded my homily by saying, like, oh, well, actually, after this Mass, I'll be going to the zoo, and maybe I'll come across some ostriches. And this is because the zoo that I have a subscription to is not far from that particular parish location. And I figured it was a beautiful, sunny spring day, and I figured it might be a nice moment to celebrate my birthday. And so I step on my bike, and then I realize, oh, wait a minute, no, actually, I have an appointment later today with a good friend of mine in the southern part of the country. So I need to go back. I need to find a station so I can step on the train. And I was already late because after Mass, there were a number of pastoral conversations that I had. And so ultimately, I ended up missing my first train. Had to catch the next one and spent the entire afternoon, you know, with my good friend and with his family. And it was wonderful, but it was like, oh my gosh, how did I forget this? The thing is, I caught myself immediately by reassuring myself. Actually, I thought of that appointment earlier that day, and it just, during Mass, just completely disappeared from my mind. And it's typical for ADHD. It's like, this happens a lot. So instead of being mad at myself, it's like, okay, well, not a problem. I'll take the next train. I'll send a message to my friend, and I'll be a little bit later. No worries. And this is these are moments that I realize that I've grown quite a bit in accepting things as they are, instead of getting all worked up about it and being mad at myself. None of that is helpful. And I notice how quick I am in correcting myself, also to stop like any type of negative self-talk and change it into a more positive just like a reinterpretation of the situation, where I was like, okay, so that was typical for ADHD, but thankfully I caught myself very quickly. Nothing to worry about. And I'll just have to find another day to go to the zoo. But that whole day was different and had to make this U-turn to a certain extent. That did take a lot of energy. And then the most intense aspect of that Sunday was I had a long conversation with my friend about things that he has experienced when he was a lot younger and he was in seminary, and the trauma in his life that has had such a massive impact on his life and on everything, on his faith even. And I noticed that when I empathize with friends, when I try to place myself in their perspective and listen to their stories, I do take it home. I can't switch it off. I don't want to switch it off, because it's a friend, you know? And when a friend hurts, I hurt. And so for several days, I've been thinking about that. And to a certain extent, also reflecting on my own experiences with trauma. In his situation, it was a very difficult time in his life, where he thought he was in a safe environment at the seminary, but it turns out that wasn't the case, and he experienced abuse. And then afterwards, that perpetuated in other situations later on when he worked in the church, and he his bishop didn't have his back at all. And so that triggered a lot of my own memories about things that I have experienced, and also the feeling of, you know, that people give you the idea that you're not good enough and that's all your fault and that you are the one who has to change, and then ultimately the people that are responsible for you and that have to take care of you don't have your back. On the contrary, they take measures to get you out of the way because they'd rather protect the status quo. So there's a lot in that story that I could relate to. And at the same time, I've changed quite a bit. I feel like I've grown so much over the past few years, where in the past, those thoughts could easily cause me spiraling down and getting depressed about my situation in life and discouraged about the way the church is not what it's supposed to be and the failures of people. But of course, I've learned that in any situation, I can reframe this, I can rethink this and look at a given situation from another perspective. But it starts, and this is my big learning point over the past year, I would say, it always starts with trying to be comfortable with the feeling that you have. So instead, our natural tendency, my natural tendency has always been, if I don't feel comfortable, I try to compensate. I try to run away, I try to distract myself, I don't know. Or other option is I dwell in those emotions, I become my emotions, and when I'm angry, I let rage take over, and when I'm stressed, I let stress take over. And that in both cases, you're not entirely free because you let your, whatever triggers you, your emotions, you let that emotion determine your behavior, and you're no longer making a deliberate choice. The only choice you make is to run away, to compensate, to just disappear in your emotions. What I've learned is that emotions are a very natural part of our life, and it's completely useless to try to, you know, suppress them or run away from them. They are signals that something is not right. And what is important and what is truly helpful is to be able to sit with those emotions, knowing very well that because they are signals, they will start to diminish over time. And it's also, instead of immediately trying to get rid of those feelings, especially if they're uncomfortable feelings of anger, of fear, of guilt, or you name it, you don't learn from those signals. You don't explore what's going on. And so the approach that I'm starting to master is that you, first of all, I verbalize what I feel. Like when I came home and I was thinking about all the stories that my friend told me, I felt sad, I felt angry, I felt frustrated, triggered also to a certain extent. It brought back pretty recent memories of what I've experienced myself. But instead of being absorbed by those feelings, I decided to just stop and to literally verbalize, what am I feeling right now? What does this do? And literally, where do I feel this? There's always like a physical component to it. Does it, like my chest is a little bit tense. My breath is shallow. I have a bit of a headache because it's all so intense, you know? And then I just sit with it. I make room, and this is only maybe 5 or 10 minutes. But instead of trying to act immediately upon this, I'm like, okay, let's just observe. Let's be curious. Where do I feel this, these emotions? And why am I triggered right now? And let's just sit with that. And then after a while, so one of the things that I noticed over these past few days, so there was like every day, I've been thinking about this and also talking about this with some good friends. And every time it came a bit too close, I had a tendency, and this is so funny, that all of a sudden I found myself in front of the fridge. The door was open and I was like, I need to eat something. And then I caught myself, I was like, wait, do you see what's happening now? You're trying to escape this feeling of discomfort and tension by eating something. You have just had dinner. There is absolutely no trace of hunger. There's nothing rational that would justify you eating right now. But it's very clear and understandable why I'm standing in front of this open fridge. It's because it's a way for me to get rid of that tension, or try to get rid of this tension, to distract myself with food. And once I realized that, I was able to close the door of the fridge. It's like, okay, well, that's okay. That's understandable, but it's not a good solution. Let's instead just give this a little bit more room. So clearly, I caught myself in the process of trying to run away from my feelings instead of just sitting with them. And then I just allowed myself to feel what I felt, even though it's not comfortable. And there is some tension, but over time, and this is within 5 minutes, it starts to dissipate. And I get a bit calmer. Sometimes I focus on my breathing. It's just, okay, let's just take a few deep breaths and take some time to breathe. Maybe listen to some music. And then I'm calm again. And I can think about, what do I do with these emotions? What do I do with these memories that are now triggered? And what are more effective ways to turn them into something positive? And in this case, it was when I started to think. I was like, well, you know what? Yes, I do empathize with the stories that my friend told me, and I'm sad with him, but there is also something I can do. And that is to see if I can, first of all, be support, be listening. Maybe if my friend wants me to, give some advice, just think about certain things that he could do, what not to do. And maybe I can think about, well, you know, so what leads to these situations where people abuse their power? What is the systemic part of this? And what can maybe I do, even if it's just a little bit, to raise awareness of situations like this? And there are so many stories that are kept secret, I think, by victims of any type of abuse, because they're ashamed, or maybe they have the feeling that no one will believe them. Maybe they have a lot of inner talk that tells them they were to blame, ultimately. So there are lots of aspects of this that that can help me to put the pieces together and maybe think about this in a way so that I can maybe help improve the situation or help people that have been in similar situations. So it's not all negative. And the fact that I've had my share of trauma and negative experiences in the church, it could be a reason to despair and to doubt, you know, what am I doing if I don't share the values of the people that in the church are my superiors? I could question my loyalty, all those things. But I can also use it as moments for me to make different choices and to decide that I want to be there for people in this same situation. And in a way that is maybe much more effective and bears more fruit in the future than just turning away from the church that I'm, not that I was planning on leaving the priesthood or anything, be reassured, but it is this kind of this this tension of this frustration, or why isn't the church what it's supposed to be? You can't always change the circumstances, but what I can't change is myself, my own attitude, and to try to find lessons in what I see, what I hear, in order to be there for people that are suffering in those situations. So it helps me empathize. So that's a positive thing, and I've noticed this in my coaching as well. As you know, the coaching is still relatively new for me, and at the same time, it's not, because it's a form of guidance, of accompaniment, and the spiritual guidance that I've gave people throughout my priesthood is a form of coaching. But I'm more intentional now that I also offer my services as a coach to other people. I realize that there is still a lot to learn here. And what I've noticed is in my coaching conversations, it really helps if you can relate on a personal level to situations that the one that you're coaching is struggling with. And this is similar to if you want to teach someone to podcast, for instance. Then it is not just my knowledge of which microphone you should buy or what kind of format works best and how you make your thumbnail art that is going to help the other person. But it's the most valuable knowledge is what I have learned from my own mistakes and the things that I tried out and it didn't work. And the points where I struggled or where I got this, I didn't have any inspiration anymore to podcast, and then how do you continue, or making too many choices, too many changes, too drastically, all that. So those experiences of moments where it was difficult are ultimately the biggest sources of experience and knowledge that can help other people. Let me turn to the left here. Don't want to make too much of a detour. I notice it's a different time of the day that I'm recording this. Normally I try to record this after lunch. And it's still relatively early in the morning. And my body is still like, okay, what are you doing? It's time for a cup of coffee, not for a walk. Anyway, but it always helps me to be out in the woods. This is also something I do very often when I'm too tense, when I'm stuck in my work or whatever, I'm thinking about something and I can't resolve it. I love to go for a walk. And I don't really think about the problem, but just being out here and sitting with that situation and letting it be, knowing very well that most of the time things will resolve itself and it just needs some time. And sometimes an insight will come or a solution will present itself. Being in nature and seeing how much time these trees take to grow, how some of these trees here have been standing here for more years than I've been on this planet, and it somehow puts you in a more patient mode of existence, where it's most of the time in life it's not about short-term decisions that matter. It's the slow growth in the long run, and this is the grace of getting older. Because the older you become, the more you will have experienced failure and struggle and pain. And none of that in itself, of course, is good. But it can all help you to become a better person and a better guide for other people. Because the more you have integrated that pain and those experiences and you have embraced them instead of trying to run away from them, the more you are potentially wise because of that, and you can help other people prevent the things that you've experienced in the past. Anyway, so that's why I'm enjoying the coaching work that I do right now, because I notice how much of an impact it makes if you can relate personally to a situation that may be in the circumstances be very different, but we're all human beings, so we all think in the same way, we all react in the same way, and there's so much that we can learn from one another, even if we work and live in completely different countries, different cultures, different circumstances. And that's a joy to discover that, and also really gratifying to hear that it helps, that having another perspective on life and someone who can stand next to, it's not just that I'm like a teacher who will tell other people what to do, but I feel it's, coaching is very much like walking with someone. It's like the story of the disciples that go to Emmaus and Jesus walks along with them. That's how I see my role as a coach. And you share your own insights so that the other person can benefit. And this is also how I experience being coached myself. It accelerates things because you have someone else who's been where you've been and understands what you're going through, and at the same time is able to offer a different perspective. So it accelerates this reframing process where, instead of getting stuck in a situation and stuck with yourself, that other person can, you know, reach out and lift you up from the waves, like Jesus did with Peter, offering a different perspective. And that is extremely helpful. And so anyway, it's I notice how much the advice of other people and the things I've learned through, and this is not just a coach, it's also through conversations with my friends. Reading has been an immense source of knowledge and experience that I would never have in my own, even among my friends or people that I know. But reading gives you oftentimes an insight in lives that you are unable to live yourself. This is one of the most magical things of reading. It can add so much time to your life because you are experiencing other people's lives, even fictional lives, but they are still full of knowledge and experience and wisdom that you can apply yourself. Podcasting, to a certain extent, can have that same function, where if you're listening to podcasts or TikTok, you're watching a lot of like personal testimonies and wisdom. They add so much value to your life because they contain knowledge and experience that you don't have yourself. So anyway, you cannot. Well, I mean, it's totally possible to live all by yourself and to try to fix everything yourself. But it's a much harder thing to do than reaching out and finding people who can help you with that. And I'm starting to discover that one of my strengths is to be someone like that, who can help other people to grow in life. So all in all, so the past few days I noticed that I've had trouble sleeping, because a lot of those experiences and emotions, even though you give it room, still need also just time to process. And I know that this is one of the things that happens when you sleep. You dream about it, you explore, your brain explores certain, you know, different avenues, you could say. Oftentimes the stories that I hear are elements in my dreams, and so I have no doubt that over time things will calm down. It's just been a very intense and also very social couple of days, and that's okay. That too, I can't tell you how often I would feel guilty about not being able to always work hard on Monday and Tuesday and not working late and not meeting my goals, because in a certain way I told myself that, you know, I'm not good enough. And now my self-talk has changed so much where I'm like, it's understandable and it's okay to be a bit overwhelmed after a couple of very intense days where a lot of stuff out of the ordinary happened. So let's just give it a little bit more space. And this is why I'm recording this episode of The Walk on a Wednesday and not on a Monday. And that's fine. I'm now in a mindset, not to mention that the weather is a lot better than on Monday, but I'm in a place where I actually have something to share with you. And I'm also, I have the energy to do it. And I wouldn't have had that on Monday. So there's nothing inherently wrong with just allowing yourself some time to decompress and to process conversations that you've had. Tomorrow I have my third day of shooting with a TV crew. We're going to record two interviews for TV. The previous one was with an auxiliary bishop, and it was aired this last Sunday. It was well received, so that was comforting. And even though I had so much trouble with the first interview, the second interview gave me a lot of confidence that, you know, I can do this. And so for tomorrow, I'm much less tense than I used to be. I still need to spend time to prepare. So this is one of the reasons that I'm recording this early in the morning, because I know that in the afternoon, I'll probably be a bit more tired, because I also have to record my new episode of The Break. So that's going to require some extra energy. And then in the afternoon, I plan just on sitting, reading through the preparatory conversations with the guests that I'm going to interview, and coming up with some questions that allow me to have a good conversation about faith. So this whole program is about, you know, how does faith help people that I'm encountering? And it can be different people from, like, it's not just priests and monks and sisters. It's like a wide variety of people. And what I love about it is that every time you record an interview or you have a conversation, you discover the heart of what moves someone. And that's always interesting, even though maybe not every interview has the same energy, but or the same entertainment value. But it's always something precious that people show you. And it's up to them. Again, one of the things that I've learned about that first interview, where I was so distressed because I felt that the person that I was interviewing had such a hard time telling her story. What I've learned now is that instead of getting all worked up about that and worrying about how will this come across on TV, my job is to accept the people as they are and to make them feel constantly it's okay. Even if you can't find the words, we're talking about very personal things. So let's take a little bit more time. My interview coach has taught me to trust my intuition instead of trying to play the role and projecting like the professional interviewer who is always in control of everything and delivers a good product. That's ultimately that can lead to very disappointing results. Instead, just trust your gut. It's a conversation. The more you are yourself and the more you are okay, for instance, with silence in an interview. This is true for podcasters also, or when you're doing a YouTube interview or whatever. We're always so afraid of silence. This is one of the reasons that in the past I used to always add so many ums and and you know and kind of like, you know, all these little words to fill in the blanks. I was terrified to not have anything to say. And it's ridiculous. And I don't know if you noticed it, but when I record an episode of The Walk, it's pretty rare that I say or there may be times that I do, like right now, but it But usually, when I'm at ease, instead of trying to fill the space, it can just be silent for a few seconds. There is no reason to try to fill everything in. And silence can also be a moment where you can breathe, where you can think, where the other person feels like they are okay as they are. The host is not trying to salvage the interview. You know, my own unrest can very negatively influence how the person that I'm interviewing feels. If I am not calm, if I'm internally unhappy with the situation or the conversation, that other person will notice that, and it will reflect on their own behavior. It might increase their own uncertainty. So what I said at the beginning of this walk, being okay with your own feelings, even if those feelings are sometimes uncomfortable, but instead of compensating for it or running away from it or getting consumed by those emotions, just train yourself to sit with that emotion and to try to explore with curiosity why you have this emotion is so much more beneficial for you, for yourself, and for the people around you than what we usually try to do instinctively. That's what I wanted to share with you. I'm going to continue this walk and talk with my patrons about the changes that we are preparing when it comes to the way in which I serve you with these podcasts. I also would like to give a bit of a behind-the-scenes idea of how I am building up these membership communities that I'm very excited about, and at the same time, it's something that is new for me. But I've got a ton of ideas. I'm very excited about this. And again, it doesn't have to be ready and in place tomorrow. I'm taking my time. I'd rather take some extra time to make sure that I create something that really helps and serves my audience, rather than coming up with something quick and sloppy that ultimately won't really, it will just check the boxes on my to-do list instead of providing you with the value that some of you might need. So thank you so much for the privilege of your time. Thank you for your ongoing support. Very soon you'll be able to support my work in a new way. We currently have closed the subscriptions to Patreon. Because we are moving everything to the new platform. But if you keep listening to this show, you will know exactly how you can continue to join me on these walks, and if you want to, and if you are able to, how you can support me. So thank you again, and we'll talk soon. Have a blessed day, and yeah, what else? Live long and prosper. May the force be with you.